Is did Rav ever meet Abaye? Well, that's just like a nice title. For the basic idea is to try and get some kind of order in our head of both our Torah and also the Tanakh. Namely, we learn, we spend our whole time learning the Tanakh and Gemara. There are a lot of names. It's most of us for sure to get to Gemara and not just abstract, just there. We have somebody says, or the Yochanan says, Rav says, Abaye says, Rav says, Rav Yosef says, Rav Akiva, etc. You have many different halachas. And what we want to try and do is, in 45 minutes, is try and give some kind of framework for thinking about where all these people lived, a little bit where they lived as well, and to try and give some order to it. At the end, what I'll do is talk about why I think it's important. Maybe I think it's intuitive that it's important, but at the end, to give maybe a few reasons, talk for a few minutes, why this is important to them. So, just to start with giving some background before, and then we'll split it up. We'll talk first about Tanakh, and then Amoraim. Basically, the period of time we're talking about, maybe just kind of set the scene, and maybe why 45 minutes is not necessarily enough for this. Then I want to guess, how long is the period? It's hard to define when the Tanakh began, when it shifted to the Amoraim, etc. But by and large, how many years do you think we're talking about? The period of the Tanakh and Amoraim. Don't want to take a guess.
A couple of hundred.
And I want to take more than so between 600,000, let's say around 800. We're talking about 800 years from the years we're doing minus 300 to the year 500. The year 500 got to the year the Gemara is written. So we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years. Again, we're not going to get too hung up on the dates and when exactly people lived. There were questions having to try and answer. But the basic idea is worth remembering, we're talking about a very, very big period of time, the reason I'm saying that is because the equivalent of me trying to give a 45-minute share saying all the rabbis who've lived since the Ramban, trying to like just kind of organize them quickly in 45 minutes, it's kind of hard, there's a lot of things going on. So this is obviously simplified to a certain extent, but the idea is to give some kind of framework, some kind of introduction to when all of these people live. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll start with the Tanaim, and both, because of the Tanaim and the Amoraim, what we're going to do is we're going to split them into six generations, and this is growing chronologically, so further spend 50 minutes or so at the time, 50 minutes in Amoraim. Split them into six. For sure, once we get to the Amoraim, they almost work exactly as six generations, and by and large, it's true at the Tanakh. But we'll see some at the beginning, some of the groups are a little bit bigger than just just one generation. It's kind of a whole group over a period of generations, and then they'll be out of it, etc. So, does anyone know, talking about Tanakh, we're not going to get into the exact question of who we define as Tanakh, where does Tanakh start, but by and large, we'll take Tanakh to mean the Rabbanim who I mentioned in the Mishnah, right? The Rabbanim in the Mishnah, Does anyone know, where do we have a certain amount of chronology, where do we have a certain amount of discussion in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah tells us kind of a chain of generations, a chain of Rebbe to Talmid, but Pirkei Avos indeed. In the beginning of Pirkei Avos, we used to think of Pirkei Avos as talking about giving various ethical lessons, etc. Of course, that's what it does. But it also, the way Pirkei Avos is set up, it starts with Moshe Nevo Torah Misinai, Masorah Yoshua, Yoshua as a king, who's a king of Bim, Levina, Masorah Adjik Nesedel. And then we're going to skip over the Adjik Nesedel, we're going to start from just after that, Tikkun Nesedel, and then you get into what's called the Zugos. This is going to be our first group, which you see in the Mishnah. Did I remember some of the names? And these are, let's say, the first, let's say, 8 to 10 Mishnahs or so, Pirkei Avos. You have the period of the Zugos. These we'll call the exact discussion of definition, we'll call these the early Tanaim. Does anyone know, can I think of some names? Yeah.
Shimon ben Shaddach and Yehudah.
Very good. Shimon ben Shaddach and Yehudah. Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai is going to be met. This is going to be Hillel and Shammai. Again, what's important to remember about these Mishnahs is the Mishnahs go in order. Namely, you start with after that, and it's all it says, Hey, Kibbul Mehem. This hair we see from there, this parrot's from there, which is kind of the chain of Rebbe and Tabai. I don't remember any other names, so you can say Shimon and Shetab, Rebbe and Tabai, but Shmai and Tabai, very good.
Nitzah Harabeli, what's that?
Very good, Nitzah Harabeli, and I don't remember the other, the first pair is Yosef Ben Yosef, Yosef Ben 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 Yosef. This is the period of the Zugos, which is the last, which kind of, in a sense, the last Zug before we then start to get to individuals, which we'll come to discuss in a second. Okay, so we'll talk just a little bit about the Zugos. the basic thing about the Zugas, are very early, and in fact, we don't have them so much in Mishnah. So you think, let's even take a step back, because this is already going to start holding it together. Who are if you think of the major names, who are the big names that always come up in Mishnah? It's like the whole time. Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi
Akiva. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yosef, these are major. These are going to come quite a bit later. These are going to come around about Heyev or so. So these are quite honest. These names don't come up that often in Mishnayos. The basic thing of when these people lived, the Zugos lived, if we want to put it in years, well, let's call it -300 to -100. What's important is that's the time. Does anyone know how to know what time going on at that time in Eretz Yisrael?
No.
We had the altar to celebrate it.
No,
it's Hanukkah. But they're just around the time of Hanukkah afterwards. Then we have the Hanukkah story. You have the Hanukkah story followed by the time of the ruling of the Malchei Chashmonai, the Hasmonean kings, ruled in Eretz Yisrael. This is what's going on at the time of the Zugos. Just the reason why this is important, just to give one little anecdote for the Gemara, there's a famous Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Ches, also mentioned in Kiddushin, which says that Shimon ben Shetach, we said that Shimon ben Shetach was one of the Zugos, Shimon ben Shetach lived at the time where Yanai, who was one of the Hasmonai kings, killed except for his brother-in-law Shimon ben Shetach, was the only one who survived, and there's a whole story that like Yanai was like, someone to lead the benching, and Shimon ben Shetach came, and there's a whole interaction there. So that's just a little bit of background. Just a little bit of background. You have a number of references to them in the Gemara, but again, they're actually the Zugos. They come up very early. They come up a little bit otherwise. They're not. You don't have them as much in the Mishnah. But if we take the Tanaim as being the early people in the Mishnah, the Zugos living at the time from the Hanukkah story onwards, for about 150, 200 years or so, that would be, in a simple sense, the Zugos. And again, it's important to remember that they don't feature as much, and it's really from Hillel and Shammai, where Hillel and Shammai are going to feature a lot, that's where we're going to start getting into some of the more famous. Okay, any questions to the stage? Or we'll go. Okay, okay, so Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai, these are, they don't know, one of the reasons why Hillel and Shammai is very significant. Hillel and Shammai, again, first of all, they feature a lot of hundreds of Mishnayos, probably hundreds of Hillel and Shammai. But what's most important is not just you have Hillel and Shammai, what comes after Hillel and Shammai? Not just is there Hillel and Shammai, there's base Hillel and base Shammai, which you don't necessarily have Hillel, because you have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have base Meir and base Yehuda. You have Hillel and Shammai were not just Tanaim, but it's also they had whole body language, styles of learning, kind of things that were much broader than it wasn't just the two of them. In fact, the Gemara describes how at this point, kind of Nisrab, so Machlokas, Nisrab, you start, the concept of Machlokas starts to become much more common from Hillel and Shammai. That's important point number one. Important point number two, they live, first of all, a little bit later, they live at the time of the Romans, and it's also their Talmidim, particularly Hillel's Talmidim, who you can literally start tracing from them all the way down, all the way through to all the Rabbanim we're going to get to later. It's literally going to go very clearly from Hillel to through the next generations of the major Rabbanim. Okay, so this is Hillel. Now, of Hillel's most famous Talmidim, this is all, by the way, in Pirkei Avos says Hillel and Shammai and Zug. It then is perhaps the base of Pirkei Avos says the five Talmidim of Hillel. The one we're going to focus on at stage Gimel here is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We're going to put someone in brackets in a second. I don't know why folks are Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's very significant. Well, very, very significant event happens at the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Yeah.
Yeah, before that, what led to it?
Destruction
of the second synagogue. So I'm going to put this in. Maybe I should have put it before. We'll call this Chashmonai.
Also, Gemara made fair, so that he was this top dollar.
Indeed, right? I'm going to put it
in. And then I'm going to put it in.
Oh,
that's the top dollar.
That is the top of the bottom. For sure.
Part of the yield.
Yeah. Oh,
it's the bottom dollar.
It's the bottom dollar.
So Hillel and Shammai were the big rabbis of the Talmud when the Christian was
even. It did.
Yeah.
I just remember it was going to show up in Baruch in its Arabic. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this takes me to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lives at the time of the Golden Age of English. For those who learn the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah is almost entirely about the a large part of it is dedicated to the takonas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. All the rules he made after the Korban, also the rules Zeikah, Lamikdash, also things that changed after the Korban. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai There's also a very famous Gemara, for example, where he's negotiating with Vespasian. Vespasian does the whole trick to come out of the walls to see Vespasian, and he tells Vespasian, no, you're going to be made the emperor. So he says, okay, I'll give you three wishes, what do you want? And he says, tell me Yavne v'chachamel, which we're going to get to in a second. Give me Yavne, give doctors for Avtolik, etc. Yochanan is the leader up and around the time of the Churban Habayis. And if we want to talk in terms of years, if it's usual people, it's around year 70 or so. Here's from Yochanan ben Zakkai. What we're going to link him to is a whole group, which you said, the Yochanan ben Zakkai asked, one of these he asked was two, that you, now this village is going to be destroyed, the Sanhedrin in the center of Jewish life, and it moved out of Jerusalem, and it moved to the place he asked for was Yavne. The place it moved to was Yavne, and here you have, to put the brackets, because it's also very significant, is you have the Nossi is Rabban Gamliel. I mean, in a sense, here we're amalgamating a little bit. And we're also going to put in the major. We're going to put them all together. Even though this one, maybe we're amalgamating a little bit. But I explain why. Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar. First of all, just to explain a little bit where people may have come across this rabbi. Rabbi Gamliel is the Nossi. Rabbi Yoshua. People remember the story in the fourth paragraph of Brachos where it says that Rabbi Gamliel was the Nossi. And they deposed him because of Rabbi Yeshua. He got an argument three times with Rabbi Yeshua. They deposed him, and then they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi. We say that the same night, Harani ben Shimon Shonov, Ozachis, etc., he became the Nasi. This is all happening at that point in Yavne, which is the new kind of center of the Jewish future. And this is all going on in Yavne. In a sense, we could potentially put, maybe we should even put Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar as a separate group. I'm going to amalgamate here because there's a certain amount of overlap. But again, this is the generation of the Tanaim. We live after the time of the Churban Habayis. And again, by the way, people will start seeing these names again. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Daniel, these names you have the whole time in Mishnayos. Maybe just mention a bit of other very famous. I don't know, very famous story cases. Like what's the good? It's also good when we do this. It's also good not just for that history. Also helps you do chazara of like interesting ideas, interesting events, etc. Then remember the most famous story, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. Here's my focus they had. That was one of them, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. That was second question, very good. Everyone knows that my focus is good. This is like 50 years of Lomash. Lomash Shemayim, very good. Lomash Shemayim. My focus about Tanarosh, about Nayim. I'm going to skip that. My focus, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, heaven should prove that it's my intention of you. And then response, Rabbi Yeshua, they famously say, Lomash Shemayim. If we want, one of the reasons why we put them together is because Rabbi Elazar is considered the Talmud of Shammai, but again, there's a balance between trying to give a lot of information but not being too much, so I don't get. But you can to a certain extent amalgamate the Gemara says that Elazar would follow the opinions of Shammai. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. Any questions? Comments? Okay, yeah.
When was Rabbi Gamliel last seen the Hormite?
Rabbi Gamliel? Well, then, first of all, Rabbi Gamliel was part of a whole chain of. Of his grandfather was the Nasi, Shimon Gamliel, etc. The Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi after this, he was Nasi before. But he was part of a chain, and in a sense, part of a chain, which includes Hillel, was part of a chain of Nasi. which we haven't carried on after, you know, Shimon Gamliel is the most famous because it was a group from the
Wasn't that the son of Shimon
Gamliel? Indeed, there's a number of Gamliels and a number of Shimon Gamliels, so it's, I guess, confusing. It goes over quite a bit. It can get a little confusing. Okay, so this is where we're up to. Three out of six. Okay, number four is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua. First of all, these are the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yeshua and Elazar, and I'm just one of this generation. A few important things. First of all, we know that they get straight after the Churban. Remember famous stories of Rabbi Akiva and the Churban? Rabbi Akiva is the one, all the Chachamim, by the way, when you read that tomorrow, it's Marcus, all the Chachamim are like, as far as I remember, it says the names, Rabbi Gamliel, etc. Rabbi Gamliel, right? He sees the Churban and he laughs whenever they cry, etc. Another famous story we have, all these hot lollies are running together from the same Satanites. Maaseh, Barabbi Eliezer, Barabbi Yeshua, Barabbi Azal, Barabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarab, we haven't put it in this this. They were sure you were super good neighbor, etc. So these are the Rabbanim. These Rabbanim all different at the same time. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, the significance of these, I will give a little historical context, further historical context in a second. Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, the significance here is they also set up very, very important Bate Medrash. To the point where what we have, and this may be because we focus mainly on Mishnah and Gemara, but when you look, when you learn Midrashim, what you have is you have Midrashim from the base Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, Midrashim from the base Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. Just give one example, which we actually encounter almost every day. Every morning after Karbonis, I should say Karbonis, after Karbonis is something, even all the people who say Karbonis don't even say, what we say, which is Rabbi Shmuel and Midrashim of the Torah Medrashim. Now, that is taken from a Medrash. Rabbi Shmuel is saying there's 13 ways to Torah, to Darsh in the Torah. Rabbi Akiva actually has different opinions about how to Darsh. For example, as a Machlokes about a rule, do you have a rule of, I'm not going to get into the technical things, but a Machlokes about, do they have a rule of Klal or Prat or Klal or Rib or Miyid Rib or Rokim, I'm not going to get, but they have different opinions how to Darsh in the Torah, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And in fact, they've composed in both them and their Talmidim, they've composed different midrashim. You have the Mechilta, which comes from the base Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, you have another version of Mechilta, the Medrash, which comes from the base of Rabbi Shmuel. You have these different Bate Medrash of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Just to give one other example of, again, a different style of drash, Rabbi Akiva says that Rabbi Akiva is with darshan, cold coats for coats. Rabbi Akiva would darshan every word, every letter, etc. So Rabbi Shmuel, sometimes you'll have a repetition of words. Rabbi Shmuel says the famous phrase, Dibra Torah Koloshan Ben Elton. The Torah just kind of expresses things in kind of a kind of an easy way to read it. It isn't necessary. He's not necessarily darshan every single word. You have these machlokes and Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel about how to darshan things. I mean, these are very, 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 very significant. Again, you have whole midrashim of Rabbi Akiva, whole midrashim of Rabbi Shmuel. The reason why this is very significant is because when we get to Hay basically is the main body of the people in the Mishnah, and we're going to quote a very famous moral reference in a second. We'll just call this Tanoim the Mishnah, because these are really like, of course there are before, but these are the whole list of the people we said before. Rabbi Meir, there was someone to say, you all the other names we've brought before. Rabbi Gunzar, Rabbi Yossi. And these people are all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Namely, there's a very famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, so what we want to really hold together, which is that. I'm not even referring to that one, there's a different one, which says that the Stam Mishnah, you just say the Stam Mishnah, any Mishnah which isn't associated is. Who is it? Rabbi Meir. And a Stam Tosefta is Rabbi Nehemia. And a Stam Sifra is Rabbi Huda. A Stam Sifra is Rabbi Shimon. The Chulu, all of them, all of that, that's Mishnah, Tosefta, Sifri, Sifra, Stam, all of that is Aliva to Rabbi Akiva. Maybe so his Talmud, okay, we have his two different Bate Medrash, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. They are different Midrashim, they write different Midrashim, many which we have. And however, the Mishnah and the Tosefta is all the Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi. Shimon, etc. Vachono Aliva to Rabbi Akiva, that's what the Quran says. So Rabbi Akiva has got an incredibly central. I mean, what we have, again, a Star Mishnah is Remeir, which it says it's all Aliva to Rabbi Akiva, all comes from his base language. This is very, very significant. So, you see how the fifth stage, the Gemara actually says it comes directly from Rabbi Akiva. These are the fifth stage of Tanaim. Just for completion, who obviously is the sixth stage? Here's the sixth stage we're talking about Tanaim. What's the last stage of Tanaim? Rabbi Hudanas,
very good.
Why is Rabbi Hudanas in the last stage?
He compiles all.
It is compiles the Mishnah. Namely, you have all of these Masoros, all of these opinions, and all of this stuff being passed down, etc. And then Rabbi Hudanas, who is the Talmud of this generation, particularly Rabbi Meir, etc., compiles it all. And here you have it. This is the order of the Mishnah. Again, just quickly summarizing it, and the questions, clarification, we'll get at the point. First, we have early stage, all the way back to the time of the Malchei Hashmonai, of the Zubos, who again are not mentioned as much. Then you have Hillel and Shammai, the Zubos, who also have base Hillel and base Shammai. Then, at the time of the Romans, then you have the time of the Chori, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, a Talmud of Hillel. Also, then you have Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, they said that Yavne, Rabbi Gamliel is the last of Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, these are major Talmudim involved at that time of Rabbi Gamliel. Then you have their Talmudim. Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Ishmael also has two books in the Medrash, which includes the writing of Midrashim, etc. Midrashim from the basement of Rabbi Akiva, Midrashim from the basement of Rabbi Ishmael. Then you have what we're calling Tabi Dalmud, early Tanai of the Mishnah, but Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who are all, as the Gemara says, it's all Aliba Dur, Rabbi Akiva, it's all coming from Rabbi Akiva's Midrash. And finally, you have Rabbi Tanasi, who compiles everything into the Mishnah that we. Okay, questions, clarifications, comment, anything? Cool. Okay, ready for the time, right? Cool. Okay. Is anything else you can see? Do you check for Reza? Was there Reza?
I have not this
for. No, we'll just make it work. Just say that. Amarayim. Okay, so Amarayim, we're also going to put in six. Six different generations. Now, the period of Amorim, again, Amorim we're referring to is the people who are referred to the Gemara. First of all, there are a few pieces of introduction. First of all, what we're going to be focusing on is the Amorim of Bavel, as opposed to the Amorim of Eretz Yisrael. And what we're going to be focusing on is the Amorim who form the background of the Talmud Bavli, as opposed to those who feature in the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's point number one. Point number two is just like it's kind of an interesting note. The Bavli is absolutely full of names. They don't know how many names of people making statements there are in Bavli. How many different names there are? I guess 3,000, which is like a lot of names. It says 3,000 different names. We're not going to have time to put all of them on the book. But again, there are some major ones. Maybe just again, just to get it to the minds, you know, think of like some major ones. These are all major Amorim. I'll already point out, just because to link to the point I said before, Reish Lakish, for example, lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he's among them around Eretz Yisrael, so we're not actually going to get to him. But maybe if we have time, talk about it again, I don't want to do too much. The Amorim is also another thing, is because Amorim is historically a period of a little bit less time than the time. But again, what we're going to do is put the Amorim in six different generations, Rebbe's Talmud, etc. Okay, the first Amorim we're going to put in are Rav and Shmuel. Okay, now first of all, one of the places you see how close Rav was to the time of Tanaim, how that Amorim kind of comes straight off the Tanaim. I don't know where you see that, but Rav was really close to the time of Tanaim. I don't know the famous, there's more in a number of places. We'll ask a question, like Rav will say something, and the Mishnah says something else. It's like, how can Rav lie in the Mishnah? And it says, Rav Tanaim, who will call it? Rav is the other one of the Amorim in the list, whereas the status of the Tanaim is up, someone's the status, and he lives. Just after the time of the Tanaim, maybe he is considered still somewhat of a switch over from the Tanaim to the Amorim, so he has the right to argue with the Mishnah.
Arthur story of being a child in the room with someone.
Indeed, and there are, and indeed, that's just one lucky example. And it's not land out of that, we know it, that it's Rav, etc. By the way, at the end, because this is really a little more complicated, but this is actually a very useful more exhibition which helps you a little bit remember what we're going to do later, which we'll get to the end. Rav and Shmuel. Now, the biggest thing to talk about when we talk about Rav is that we're now moving from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And all these people live in Eretz Yisrael in different places. So Yavne, different places. However, in the end, they all live in Eretz Yisrael. Rav and Shmuel, both at points were in Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting that the Gemara says, when we see that Shmuel was Rabbi Yonasi's doctor, which is interesting. And Rav also learned by Rabbi Yonasi. But then they moved to Bavel. And set up yeshivas there. Without getting too much into the Gemara and Gittin, Avot describes it, like the impact it had, that it kind of, now Bava became a place of Torah once Rav got there. Rav and Shmuel set up the two yeshivas, I'll throw out the names, but I don't get the complicated couple of yeshivas. Yeah, the two yeshivas at that stage were not Surah and Kedisa, they were Surah and Nahar Dar. Those are the two yeshivas, Rav was in Surah. The reason, maybe one thing that's useful, how is that going to get too into geography? Oh, maybe two things about Asura. One is that Ravina and Ravashi, who are going to be right at the end, the final Amaranth, they also are the Rosh Hashiva of Asura. The other thing is just for the segue, Asura today happens to be the city of Fallujah, which is currently controlled by ISIS. I just find it really interesting, the, like, the place where Ravina and Ravashi is today. I don't know, it's just like interesting how, it's an interesting one to think about, like, I remember when I saw that first time, I was like, how come it doesn't mean anything to us, like, why don't we know, why don't we as Jews, like, care about that? It's just an interesting thing to think about, just as an interesting piece of knowledge. Okay, so anyway, back to 1,000 years ago, Rav and Shmuel live in Bobra, the Rosh Hashiva of Sura and Nahar Doa. Okay, the next generation is maybe a little bit less famous. We'll see that the generation, the base and hay are less famous as opposed to, like, Rav and Shmuel is a famous pair, like you see Rav and Shmuel all the time, it's known that they're there. We'll see that Gimel, Dal, and Bo are also famous for it, but the base and hay are lesser. Here is Rav Yehuda and Rav Kona, who are Talmidim. We're not going to spend too much time talking about the David Talmidim of Christians, also that generation, he was just trying to, like, break down to pairs of people who were like that, who were contemporary Rosh Hashivas at the same time. First again, both of them were around, like, and just for example, particularly Rav Yehuda, one thing maybe to note is you'll see very, very common, you know, the conclusion once you pointed out, so you'll see it the whole time. You'll see the whole time Amar Rabbi Hood on Rav, and the whole time you'll see Amar Rabbi Hood on Rav Shmuel, because it's something with both. Literally, you'll just see it through it, not like every parak for sure, you'll see like Amar Rabbi Hood on Rav, and Rav Shmuel. Comes up a lot, because it's in terms of both. Okay, we're not going to focus too much on them, After that comes Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba and Rav Yosef are very famous. First of all, the Gemara describes at the end of the Parakos how there was like a discussion of who of them was going to be on Shiva. It's quite a humorous one, because the Gemara says that, I don't know how the Gemara describes them, the difference between Rabba and Rav Yosef, do you know this? Gemara Eker Horeb describes that Rabba is Oker Horeb, which means he's like very good at Bidyan, as opposed to Rav Yosef is very good at Bikias. That's what the Gemara says. And so the Gemara says, okay, we've got two people who are candidates to Rosh Hashiva. We've got Rabba, who is good at Bikir. We have Rav Yosef, who's good at Bikir. What should we do? They said the question off to someone at the Chacham, and the Chacham said, you should choose the person who is good at Bikir. And now the whole they choose the person who's going to be here. They don't listen to them. They choose Rabba as Rosh Hashiva. Rabba's been for 22 years at the end, only after he does the first. So they didn't listen to the advice. But that is Rabba and Rav Yosef. Just another interesting Rav Yosef blind. Interesting, but he was still the person with the Bikir. Very often you'll see Rav Yosef will kind of say that, ah, this machlokes we have over here is actually machlokes to the Nile, we'll bring which night, except Rav Yosef is known for Bikir. After that, come their Talmidim, initially it's kind of, to a certain extent, their Talmidim, there's a crossover. Their Talmidim, anyone know which pair this is? Rabba and Abaye. Abaye is an orphan. Grows up in the house of Rabba. There are those who say that Abaye probably wasn't his real name, but there are those who say that Abaye stands for Asher B'chal Yisham Yasa. It's a posuk referring to orphans and. Pardon? Asher, it's a posuk after the term of Mishle, which Chumma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher B'chal Yisham Yasa. Through you, or in, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, orphans will be comforted. They're saying that's what Abaye's name was, because he was an orphan. He grew up in the house of Rabba. Rava is a Talmud of Rav Yosef. If you want, this is really getting into much more detail than this year. The idea that Rava is kind of into the Bidyan, you see him with Abaye as well, Rav Yosef is into the Bidyan, you see him with Rava as well. There's a whole like a discussion that's much more involved. Okay, this is Abaye and Rava, who are maybe the one of the most famous. Often the Gemara, in fact, in its entirety, the Gemara is often referred to the Gemara refers to itself as Havayas to Abaye of Rava, the questions, the back and forths of Abaye and Rava. Maybe just to in terms of the geography, we talked about how Rav and the Rav and Sura. Here, these all four of these are all in one place, which is mentioned before, which is what's the famous Shiva? Pumbedisa, indeed. These are all in Pumbedisa. And really, after, here's really the first generation of two yeshivas are Surah and Narada. However, after a little bit of time, by the time you get to here, the two yeshivas are Surah and Pumbedisa. And just the reason why that's interesting is because Jeff continues literally all the way from 700 years, literally all the way until the time of Rashi, you have the yeshivas of Surah, you have the yeshivas of Pumbedisa. As in, when you're talking about the time of Rav Haigon and Rav Shmuel, etc., these are Rosh Yeshiva, the same yeshivas that, yeah, but they're specifically, but again, that's a good game to go further. Okay, we'll just quickly go through until the end. Hey, the next generation is, again, that's famous, Poppy, and then finally, Rav, Ravina, and who are famous, the Gemara says, they are chosei the Talmud again. Ravina Rashi Sofo Rav, which is a discussion taking out of the standards. The simple understanding is that the Gemara, by and large, finishes with them, though we know that there are certain sections that the Rishonim already point out, that there are certain sections, some say the first two Talmud of tradition, the first two theory, that are a little bit later than Ravina Rashi. But by and large, these are six generations of Amoraim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, Rav or Rav Yosef, Abai, Rav Papi, Ravina, and Rav Ashi. Okay, any questions on anything in particular? Questions, comments? Yeah, comments.
What's the deal behind a lot of Gerson changes, Rav or Rav?
What's the... often... well, first of all, the reason for a lot of Gerson changes, Rav or Rav, okay, first of all, just going back, just because it wasn't a title of the show, did Rav ever meet a buyer? What do you think? Did Rav ever meet a buyer?
Doubtful.
Indeed, it is doubtful that Rav ever met a buyer. That wasn't a title of the show, so now there you go. But that wasn't the point of the show. The point of all this is not just to your answer, but right? Yeah, question.
Now, what does it mean that Rav actually compiled the Gemara? They had all the teachings from five X generations up, and they picked and choose because they were each door.
That's a very good question. There's a lot of discussion on this. By the way, there's even discussion by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And I said, he organized the mission. Does that mean he literally worked it, or he just organized the mission? But it's still, you can organize the mission, but still teach about that. You just have the focus, but you teach about that. There's also some discussion there. There's a lot of discussion around it, and there's also an expert. I'll just tell you some interesting stuff relating to it. You'll see, for example, Abaye, in many places in Shas, Abaye will do something where he says, he'll collect lots of different sheeters together and say, all these people, he'll kind of like gather different sheeters together. All these Tanaim hold, all these people hold the Nozim, it's called the same. In lots of different places, Abaye gathers different teachers together. Potentially, that has something to do with organizing the material. I don't know. That's just one thing that's going on around that time. Did Ravina and Rashi, how much was written before? There's a lot of discussion. It's not something I'm going to
explain. Each generation were established to new things.
Oh, to each?
When we quote something in the Shem Rav, it's not a Shem Rav.
First of all, it's important to remember a lot of things are then quoting the shape. Like once you start noticing it, you'll see, for example, you'll just start noticing, you won't have Omar Rav, Omar Abaye. It never happens. What you have is Omar Rav, Omar Yochanan or someone, or Omar Rav Yoshua, Omar Rav, Omar Yoshua, and Navy, who's the narrative story all the time, something like that. You'll have, as I said, Omar Rav Yoshua, much more. A lot of it's quoted. But a lot of it is, yeah, is there new discussions, new questions they're raising, new answers they have. You can begin to see differences between them. I'll just give you one, because this links into the discussion I heard last about whether the Mishnah was actually written yet, or whether it was just organized or hadn't been written, is you have, until Abaye and Rava, you'll have different gerushas in the Mishnah. Maybe you'll have the Ashur and the Mishnah. So this is not saying, no, the Mishnah, there's another gerusha in the Mishnah says this. But that's only really until this time, after this time, you don't really ever see Ravina and Ravashi say, oh, there's different gerushas in the Mishnah. So for sure by then you had the text of the Mishnah as a text, not being known. But again, that's you can begin to find you can find differences in style. There's also differences beyond relating to kind of being past. I just find differences. What type of map locus do I have? Rather like what type of map locus do I have? There is. You can begin to find it. That's quite definitely is quite sophisticated. Yeah.
Can you just explain the relation of the rubbish? The rubbish can question the time, but small can't, but small can question the rubbish.
Well, first of all, the actual relation to the two people is very interesting. But in terms of specifically how it relates to each other, first of all, they lived in the orbit of the Vivanasi, but then moved to each other. Rav is considered qualified to argue with Mishnayos, and Shmuel is not. But again, most of Rav's arguments are with Mishnayos, most of Rav's arguments are with Shmuel. They'll be a Mishnah, they'll try in different ways. They'll try to say, well, a different way. They'll have a different answer to a new question. And indeed, they will be able to rush it. We don't consider Rav a time, but we do consider the first name, right? It's just also worth adding just the name Rav, also similar to his name wasn't Rav, his name was Golden Rush Bam, basically, it was Abba Arakwa. But seemingly the name Rav also symbolizes to a certain extent, just to be called a bit of Nazi Rebbe, namely was he compiled Rush. So Rav set starting the yeshivas, whatever it is, above all that seemingly is also why he was true. Rav just also helps you remember that a little bit. Yeah.
What period was Rabbi Zera?
Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera was, there's a number of very mentioned of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, we haven't mentioned. One of them was Rabbi Zera. I would just start by saying that's probably the biggest Amara we haven't mentioned. About in the middle here, Amara of Eretz Yisrael, who is a body really is possible not to mention, is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan will argue for Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why it's important to mention Rabbi Yochanan is because Rabbi Yochanan does, of course, the major figure in Yerushalayim. Even in the Bible, the person who's quoted the most times, not the name that appears the most, but the person who's quoted, who has a quote in his name the most times in the Bible, is Rabbi Yochanan, who's of Talmud, he's an Amara of Eretz Yisrael. But he is the quote the most times in the Talmud Bavli. And you have lots of people who kind of bring over his quotes from where to start to bother. You'll have Amar of Divi, Amar of Yochanan, Kiyasa Ravin, Amar of Yochanan, Amar of Yochanan. You have a lot of, Rabbi Zera also went between, you have a number of Amarim who go between Bava and Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Zera, I think, would be,
whose name comes up most in the Bava.
I don't know.
But the person whose name actually has.
So the name is different. The reason why, what's the difference? Why is it that even if you're the quoted the most, your name doesn't come up? You don't have a sanction for it. Right. So Abai and Rava have a lot of back and forth. Like Abai would say this is Rava, it's not Abai. So the Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have, the Rabbi Yochanan is, thinks of quoting his name. So he is the most quoted. It's fun. Also, the thing is very hard is like the name Rav comes with a lot of often. It's like Rav, Chisda, Rav, as in. So it's like, it's kind of hard. So you need to like spend a lot of time to count how many times it says Rav. So I don't remember which name it is. Most again, both of the most things quoted, the one I'm most quoted is Rabbi Yochanan, because one of the main one of Eretz Yisrael. This time. Any further questions?
At which point in the battle was the Yerushalmi compounded?
Yerushalmi was earlier. I'm not entirely sure. It's Rabbi Yochanan, who's the major figure of Yerushalmi, comes right all the way up here, and it's going around here or so. If this is the year, and again, the exact time when the Gemara was finished as well, there's also a discussion, but let's call it the year 500, so that the Yerushalmi generally would take it to be about the year 400. Yes?
You're going to say why it's important?
Why it's important, yeah, that was in the conclusion, so very nice, cool. Why is this important? So I would say two different kind of levels, two different ways of approaching it. Why it's important. We'll just spend too long at the moment, we'll have a general feel for this. One is that, first of all, it can help your literal understanding of Pshat, understanding of Torah, your learning of Gemara, is often very much enhanced by having an understanding of this. I'll give you one of the most important examples of following. Often, I think most people when we learn Gemara, we don't tend to care that much who said it. We learn, it's like, does it make a difference if it's my own Rav Shmuel or Rav Abai? We don't really need to think about it. It's important to know for sure once you get to Halacha that there's an incredible amount of like knowledge. You get an incredible amount, there's a number of Kalei HaPsak, rules of Harry Paskin, which are based on who said it. So, for example, The second one was famous. Abai and Rava. What do we pass tonight in Rava is Abai and Rava? Every single one of is Abai and Rava. There's a term which is Pastin, like Rava, except for six cases.
Yes.
Gemara says the Pastin like Rava, except for. Puts me out the gun. So for example, once it is now, for example, I'm not even speaking of it. Once you see the basics, if you quote, there'll be something that's said in the Torah or so. Torah will say, there's an halacha. And I'll say, yeah, because this is a mahlok, which is the Gemara, Abai, and Rava. And we always pass on the Gemara, so therefore, it's like incredibly useful to know. If you're to know who said what, because it means you know how to pass it. And you know Rabbi Rav Yosef. We have a similar Rabbi Rav Yosef, which I'm literally banging now. So that's why Rabbi Rav Yosef always pass on like this. No, I think always pass on like Rabbi, except for 3 cases. And sure, Rabbi Shmuel, then Rabbi Shmuel. But it didn't matter if we passed on halacha, Shmuel, the Dini. So think about it, every single, I don't know how many words you reckon there are in the Gemara, probably 1,000 or so between Rav and Shmuel, and you've got a rule which tells you how to pass the Gemara. Often there are exceptions, probably just one way to put exceptions to the Gemara. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, and then also Machlok is Abai Rav on the same thing, so it gets confusing which rule to use, or if you have a Machlok is Rav and a Yochanan on versus Rav Shmuel, so does the rule apply now? Okay, you have exceptions, and you have a lot of exceptions. But first of all, it's like, it's incredibly significant. For sure, once you get halakha, it can really help a tremendous amount. So people say, well, there's also another problem when it gets to halakha. By the way, there's problem when we talk about tanaim as well. There's problem set up in different sense. Erevin, for example, halakha per Rabbi Akiva mechaver, whenever Rabbi Akiva's arguing with another one called Rabbi Akiva. Halakha per Rabbi, that's a very big one in the tanaim. We have, as this doesn't matter really who it is, but we have Chachomim versus individual who possibly get there. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Hudley, Pasuk Rabbi Yehuda, etc. There's a lot of problems. For those who want to look it up, I don't know what the problem is brought. In the end of the sentence of Brochus, in Kapodomus, the Gemara of Shua on our bit, he brings all these problems back, which when you have this time versus this time, who you pass from, etc. And for sure, I think it's important to be aware of it even now. For sure, it's about halacha. It's incredibly useful and important to know who said what. That would be point number one. Point number two, which is a little more complex, and this is where you get to more advanced levels, namely, point number one can be incredibly essential. Point number two, this is kind of almost added extras, but very often your understanding for sure about Galatas, but even halachic sections, is helped by knowing roughly when people lived. Like, for example, knowing that Rabbi Akiva lived after the time of the Horus, and knowing that Hillel lived at the time of the Romans. So many Agatas, you begin to understand more, knowing. I'm going to get into the history of what was going on in Babylonia at the time. There are many, many Agatas, and again, for sure, you can perform the sentence, for example, the sentence of the Torah, knowing the Messias of what they're talking about can often help. So that's why I'm going to be quick. Again, that's a little bit more difficult because the first one is definitely more. On the pure Torah, I think there's so many rules based on who said what. That's, if you really, really help you understand, for sure, we can get to learning a lot. The second kind of direction, why it's important, why I think it's important, just a little bit of basic knowledge, is the following. Is that when you start learning the history, or whatever, it's not important to spend a lot of time, but to have a little bit of knowledge of it, is what happens when you learn the history is that Rav and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan and Hillel, instead of just being an opinion in the Gemara, they become an actual person. Namely, now the question is like, okay, so is it because we're used to learning about this was this is Rav, this is like that? I think it's important to remember that. Think of them a little bit as an actual person. The question is why? Why is it important to think of an actual person? And I would say that the reason is because that actually something very, I think, is very, very important for our Jewish identity. Maybe I'll just give an example. Any American in the room, what year was the American Declaration of Independence? 1776. Anyone from England in the room, what year was the Battle of Hastings? 1766. Very good. We've picked up to a certain extent knowing the history that you learn becomes very much part of your identity. The history that you, I'll give my example, when I went to Washington for the first time, I knew absolutely nothing about American history. So I get to Washington, go away to go, I borrowed his AP American History book, and as I'm on the metro in Washington, I'm like reading all about Lincoln, like, oh, it's so interesting. It's, like, I literally never heard of these people. But knowing the history of people, to us that we know more of the history of America / England than the Jewish history, that has a big impact on our identity. And part of Jewish identity is not just learning Torah, but it's not just you're learning Torah for the Torah, you are those are all direct descendants, literally. These are great, 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 great grandparents. But it's, you are part of the same people, you're descendants of you, you're part of the same kind of, what sort of age you call them, the Masorah community, you're part of the same community that spans history as these people. So they're not just Ravon and Abaye, are not just opinions of the Gemara, they're your rebbe, they're part of who you are. And that's why it's important. And sometimes what can happen is that Ravon and Abaye are just, and the Ravon, maybe we can do this with Roshonim, we can do this with Aharonim, all the way until kind of, I suppose once we get to under Moshe Feinstein and Roshonim Zaman, then these are people who lived around that time, so we relate to those people. But until then, they're just kind of like opinions and books as opposed to like actual people. And I think it's something very important that a certain amount of Jewish history, a certain amount of history I think is necessary in terms of Jewish identity, and at times that can be quite, I know I must say, class experience, but it's exceptionally valuable. So to have a certain sense, and again, obviously when you're learning Gemara, to spend the whole time in Gemara thinking like, when did this person live and trying to remember all this, obviously the Gemara is primarily Halacha, you know, Torah, etc. But to have a certain sense in the background of these being not just opinions, legal opinions, Halacha, but people who are the source of our identity, people who we're part of the same community as them, and that's something like that's very significant and something quite important in terms of our own growth as Bnei Torah. Tov, okay. Sure. Any questions?
What do you think about the relationship?
Rav's relationship is important.